Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kiddushin Daf Mem Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today, with Siyata Deshmaya, we begin the second perek of Maseches Kiddushin. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance in the margin where we have a topic heading, which reads, Im Mekachim Al Yedei Shaliach, if it is so, and the Mishnah indicates thusly, that one can marry a woman through the efforts of an agent, Loma Tzorich La Mishnah Lelameh Chigam HaBaal Atzmo Yochol Lekach HaRei Zupshita. If an agent can offer a woman on my behalf the marriage offer, the money needed to establish a marriage, so all the more so the husband can do it himself. Why then does the Mishnah make mention of that fact? Is it not obvious? The Mishnah. Ho'ish mekadesh bo ubishlucho. A man can marry a woman through his own efforts, namely, he presents her the money or the shtar, the means of establishing a marriage, shtar being a document, topics that we've discussed much earlier in the Masechta, ubishlucho, and through the efforts of an agent, his shaliach. Ho yisho miskadeshes bo ubishlucho. A woman, who is the receiver of the kedushin, she herself can receive the kiddushin, the money, if you will, or the item in exchange for which she agrees to marry, ubishlucha means, or through her sending an agent on her behalf to receive the marriage offer. Ho'ish mekadish esbito kishi naro, boy ubishlucha. A father can marry off his daughter while she is a naro. Naro is a specific age between 12 and 12 and a half years of age. The father can marry her off. In other words, the husband would offer the father money on her behalf. In other words, when I say on her behalf, means that she would then be married. The father would receive the marriage money, or the father can send an agent to receive the marriage money. The Mishnah makes mention of his marrying off his daughter while she is a nara. When we mention the specific age, what about a father marrying off his daughter as a minor, as a ketana? When we are quite familiar with that possibility, why then does the Mishnah emphasize nara? So Rashi touches on this point, Rashi that we'll look at together, kishi nara, you notice in the upper part of the narrow lines, v'kol shekein she ketana, and all the more so, when the daughter is a minor, im kibel kiddushin mekudeshes, if the father receives the marriage money, she will be married. V'haydenoka nara, the choice of the Mishnah in citing nara, it's not to the exclusion of a ketana, but rather orach ara ashminan. Orach ara is an expression, in Hebrew you would say derech eretz, the right way, the proper way of behavior. Tektana lechatchilu lo. As a first choice, a father should not marry off his daughter while she is still a minor. Kidim Beforish, but the Gemara will address that issue. Now we turn to the Gemara. You'll notice there are markings in the Gemara. You'll notice bow ties and diamonds and double underlines. What do these markings represent? So you'll notice in the margin, you'll notice we have something called a mivneh, a structural note. The bow ties are used to introduce, we'll say, two versions, two lashonos of the Gemara. And our note says, Shnei lashonos ba Gemara, Alma makshim hakushyo, a question will be raised. And that's what the bow tie introduces. And the two versions are, is the question raised on that which the Mishnah said in the Reish of the beginning, or Ala Seifa, or O Ala Seifa, or on the continuation of the Mishnah. Umemela, and now that we've produced or presented the two versions of what the question is on, the result of that is Amashayach Tshuvas Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, who you see featured in a diamond, offers an answer. Basically, it's the same words in the first version and the second version. So what is his answer an answer to? So we have two versions in the Gemara. The double underline that you see will highlight the names Rav Safra and Rava, who are brought in to illustrate the point that's made by the Gemara itself. So now the Gemara. Hashta b'shlucho mekadesh. The Mishnah tells us that a man can send an agent on his behalf to offer the money to the woman. Bo mibaya, if a person can function through an agent, do I need to tell you that he himself can offer the money or the marriage effector to the woman? Omar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef answers why the Mishnah makes mention of Bo, of the husband himself, because mitzvah boy yoser mi b'shlucho. In other words, the Mishnah tells us that agency could be used to deliver the kiddushin to the woman. Kiddushin, the element that affects the that enables the marriage to take place. We'll use the term money henceforth. It's just a simple example, and that's one point of the Mishnah, that a man can create marriage through his agent. The reference to the man himself, to the husband himself, is not to tell us that the husband can do it. That we know as a matter of through a Kal Vachomer. If an agent can do it, so certainly the man himself. So what's the reference to the man? The reference to the man is what Rav Yosef says. It's a greater mitzvah. It's a greater fulfillment if he does it himself more than through agency. Rashi says, mitzvah bo yosem b'bishlucho, d'chi osik gufo b'mitzvos mekabel schar tfei. When a person himself is involved in a mitzvah, there is greater reward. And illustrations of this, not from marriage issues, but from Shabbos. Ki ha d'Rav Safra machrich resha. Rav Safra, a great Talmudic scholar, a great Amora, when it came to Shabbos preparations, he himself literally singed the head. It's a hair removal process in preparing meat for Shabbos. So if they had an animal head to eat, machrich, he would singe the hair of that animal head for in honor of Shabbos. Rava molach shibuta. Rava salted a fish. So that here you have great rabbis that could have done things through a messenger, an emissary, an agent of theirs, but no, they did it themselves. In order to, and this is, as we say, to illustrate mitzvah bo, yoser mi b'shlucho. The Gemara raises a question, though. Ika di Amri. There are those that say, oftentimes Ika di Amri introduces a second version, and in fact, that's what's happening over here. The second version says, Beha Isura Nami Isba. If a person has the option of marrying the woman himself, in other words, I would like to use the word confronts the woman, but it means he poses himself directly without any intermediaries, without emissaries, himself directly in front of the woman, offering her marriage, and he chooses to do so through an agent when he could have done so himself, you're now involving an element of sin. That's Isura Nami Isbo. Rashi says, Bo Isura Nami Iko, Im Yochol Lekadish Batzmo Bekidish Adei Shaliach. If he could have done so himself, but he didn't. He sent an agent to marry her on his behalf. The mitzvah shireno, one is expected, one is commanded to see her before he marries her. Shema tizgane olov. If a man doesn't see the woman he's marrying before he marries her, and does so through an agent when he could have done so himself, and then he meets the woman who's now officially his wife, and he finds her unattractive. So what have you accomplished? You've created a miserable situation. And that's what the Gemara is saying here. Is Isura Nami Isba. There's even an element of that which is prohibited here. If you're not going to do it yourself, Kidder of Yudah Marav, the Amar, in accordance with Rav Yudah's teaching, the Amar of Yudah in the name of Amarav, in the name of Rav, he says, Osur Lodom Shikadish Esa Isha Ad Shirena. It's forbidden for a man to marry a woman until he first sees her. Shemo Yira Ba Dover Meguna Vitizgana Olov. He might discover before he, if he had her married before he saw her through an agent. When he does see her, he'll see something in her that's to his dislike. Dover Meguna is something that's repulsive, and she will be he will repel her. She will be disgusting unto him. That's Tizgane Olov. He'll find her disgusting. For Rachmon Amar V'Avta Re'echa Kamocha, the Torah commands us to have love and compassion for fellow man, like for oneself. How is having her married without your seeing her enabling a situation of Shemot is gone aloft to arise? How do you have a fulfillment of Yahavta L'Reicha Kamocha? So Rav Yosef made mention of mitzvah boy Yosef Mibisho, is a greater mitzvah in his doing so. According to the approach that we've taken in raising this question, it would not be accurate to say that it's just a matter of a greater mitzvah if he does it more so than through an emissary. But if he chooses to do the marriage through an emissary when he could have done it himself, he's actually in violation of this teaching. Now, Rav Yosef didn't make any mention of any Isur. So what is Rav Yosef's response related to? It then would not be the case where the man, the husband, chose an agent when he could have done it himself. Therefore, v'chi itmar de Rav Yosef, when Rav Yosef said that there's an element of mitzvah for him to do it more so than through an emissary, but not that there's any element of sin, so Rav Yosef must have directed his comments to a different part of the Mishnah. A Seifa Itmar. Rav Yosef's comments were on the Seifa, on the continuation of the Mishnah. Seifa literally means the end of the Mishnah. In this case, not the end of the Mishnah, it's the continuation of the Mishnah. The terms Reisha and Seifa throughout the Shas are very often relative. So relative to the first version, the response of Yosef is related to the continuation of the Mishnah. So as I say, relative means it's later, and hence the term Seifa, end. What did it say in the continuation of the Mishnah? Ho'isha miskadeshes bo ubeshulcha. The woman in receiving the marriage money can do so herself. She can do so through sending an agent to receive it on her behalf. And in looking at the Seifa of the Mishnah, we would raise the question, Hashta b'shlucha miktisha ba mibaya. Once you tell me that through an emissary, an agent, the woman can become married, certainly through her own personal receiving of the money, Why does the Mishnah make mention of bo? The Mishnah says ha'isha miskadeshes bo ubishlucha. You could have simply said ha'isha miskadeshes b'shaliach or b'shlucha, and I would understand kal v'chomer, and certainly through her own acceptance of the money. So why does the Mishnah mention bo? Omer of Yosef, mitzvah bo yoser mi b'shlucha. If she has the option of receiving the marriage money, and there's also an agent, better for her to do it. Why? Because of this principle of mitzvah bo yoser b'shlucha. When there's a chance to fulfill a mitzvah, it's a greater there's greater schar for a person doing the mitzvah himself, more so than having it accomplished through an agent. And again, to illustrate this, Kiha de Rav Safra Machrich Reisha, Rava Molach Shibuta. Aval Beha, but with reference to the woman's end of things, Isura Les Ba. There is no element of Isur. Namely, you might say, well, if the woman were to use an emissary instead of herself, is there not the possibility that she'll find her new husband unappealing to her, and that would be a violation of after recha kamocha? No, that's not a problem on the woman's end of things. Kidereish Lakish, based on Reish Lakish's observation of society, of the difference between men and women, the Omar Reish Lakish teaches us Tav Lemetav Tan Du, better to dwell, Lemesav, to live, to sit, to dwell, Tan Du. Tan means body, Du, like the word duo, two bodies together, Mi Lemesav Armalo, than to dwell as a widow, as an armalo. It's a borrowed expression meaning to remain alone. The Tosfos Ri HaZaken, we have a little star in that commentary in the lower part of the page. You can see Asefa de Legabi Dida Leko Isura, regarding from the woman's standpoint, her using an agent instead of herself would not be described as a violation. Devadai lo tis no enu, there is, you can rest assured she will not hate him if she finds him some kind of, let's say, physical handicap or what have you. Afapi shetira bo dover meguna, even if she sees something that objectively might be viewed as repulsive. De becholdu nichola, women have the tendency to be satisfied, to be happy with whatever they get. Now, I'm not sure that for some listeners that sounds like something politically correct or what have you. Believe me that there is much more to this insightful statement of Reish Lakish than what mere translation can reveal. So, in Gemara markings, we try to convey the concept of kavod atura, kavod talmidei chachomim, and not to rely on the simple translation level of understanding things. So here is a case in point that Reish Lakish is sharing with us, a very deep insight. There is much, much more to research regarding this, but there's a fundamental difference between men, the male psyche, versus the female psyche. And I think that you will find modern, contemporary studies that can bear this point out for anyone who might have some, let's say, weakness in his emunas chachomim, which I hope no one has. So, as far as the woman using an emissary when she could have done so herself, there's no Isur. She won't find the husband that she hasn't seen disgusting. Nevertheless, it's better for her to directly receive the money instead of sending an emissary, because of this concept of mitzvah ba Yoiser mi b'shlucho. That's what Rav Yosef is teaching us. And that's, of course, what the Mishnah is teaching us when it makes mention of her being able to receive the marriage money on her own is for to convey this point of mitzvah boy, yoiser mi b'shlucho. Not simply to tell us that the woman can receive her own marriage money. That I would have been able to figure out by simply saying that she can be married through an agent that she sends. Hoish Mekadish is Bito Kshinara. The Mishnah mentioned that a man can marry off his daughter even when she's reached age 12, which technically speaking she's an adult, but the father still has rights over her, and included in those rights are the right to marry her off up till the age of 12 and a half. The Gemara observes, though, and we have a topic heading here which reads Osur Lekadesh Bito Haktana. Now, the word Osur one has to take with a certain amount of reservation. Osur literally means it's forbidden. We're not right now, we're not making a distinction between on a Torah level is something forbidden, on a rabbinic level is something forbidden, on a Derech Eretz level something is forbidden. We're simply using the word Osur Lekadesh Bito Haktana. It is not, one is not to marry off his daughter when she is still a minor. That is not to suggest that if a father would do it, the marriage wouldn't take hold. Take hold meaning legally speaking, she would be considered married anyway. The Gemara. Kishihi Naro in Kishi Kitana Lo. From the Mishnah, we would conclude that a father can marry off his daughter to some man when she is a na'ara, above age 12, and not when she is still a minor, under age 12. Messiah le Rav, this will support, this Mishnah then supports Rav, the Mishnah with its inference, supports Rav. Yom Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, V'itema Rebelozer. Some versions have Rav saying it, another version has Rebelozer saying, Osur li Adam shikadish es bito kshiktana. A man is not to marry off his daughter while she is still a minor, until she reaches adulthood, over age 12, v'tomar, and say, b'ploni ani rotza, and designate the man that she wants, that I want to marry, I want to be married to this man. We look at the side of our Gemara, we have a topic heading. And this topic is very long. It goes till Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. And it deals with a fundamental topic, the topic of agency. From where do we know that there is such a legal a tool called agency, and that it takes hold? There, throughout the Gemara, you'll see four topics referred to. The issue of agency, begitin, kiddushin, trumos, and kachim. In gittin, we would be referring to an agent used for delivering the get to the woman. When we speak about delivery of a get, there's actually, and the issue of agency, you have a shliach that a husband appoints to deliver it to her. And you also have that's called a shliach lehoilocha. There's a shliach lekabola, an emissary, an agent that she appoints to receive the divorce document on her behalf. So we have to establish, how do we know that there is shlichus by gittin, and that she has the power to appoint one, and that he has the power to appoint one? Number two, kiddushin. The same thing with regard to the entrance to matrimony, the kiddushin, the marriage, sending the money, giving the money himself, or in our case here, we want to know about the husband sending money through an agent. That the agent's presentation of money to the woman is an effective means of having her married to the original fellow. Trumos. Trumos has to do with appointing an agent to tithe one's produce. And number four, kochim, the concept of agency as it affects sacrifices. Where does agency figure in the realm of sacrifices? So we'll wait until we get to the Gemara. The Gemara asks, and maybe we should have pointed out, we have some markings, and under the Mivneh heading, we indicate the triangle is featured, four tchumen, four areas, Shiesh Shlichus, and we'll be squiggle underlining the word Minolon each time. Where do you see it? Where do you know that there is such a thing as Shlichus in these areas? So now the Gemara, Shlichus Minolon. Here the topic isn't spelled out, but it's in the realm of get, the realm of divorce, Desanya. Now what we have is a word quoted from the Torah, but it's spelled without the hay as it appears in the Torah. The hay of this word v'sholach, it's really v'sholcha, is the subject of a drosha in and of itself, we'll say. You might note that on the side of the Gemara we have a pasuk printed, Devarim Perek Chof Dalet Pasuk Aleph, and it says in that pasuk, "V'chosav lo sefer krisus," a man in divorcing his wife writes a scroll of krisus. That's the Torah word for a get. "V'nosan biyoda v'shilcha mibeso," and in pasuk beis it says, "V'yotza mibeso v'holcha v'hoisa leish." And in Pasuk Gimel, it says, V'nosan biyada v'shilcha mibeso. So as we read the Tanaic source that you see in the frame, v'sholach is really a reference to the root of the word v'shilcha. So v'sholach melamed shehu oisa shliach. This teaches us that the husband can appoint an agent for delivering the get. Rashi adds, what tips us off on this is that the Torah could have used the word v'girsha, namely v'kosav lo sefer krisus v'nosan biyada v'girsha, which is the standard word for gerushin, divorce. So from the fact that the Torah didn't use that word but used the word v'shilcha, that indicates that there's a special halacha being conveyed here, that the husband has the power of employing agency in order to deliver the get. Vishilcha, here we're noting the hay appears as part of the word. Melamed shehi oisa shaliach. This teaches us that she can appoint an agent. Rashi says that instead of reading the word the way we do in the Chumash Veshilcha, the drosha, the oral tradition, enables us to read that very same word, being that the Torah has no vowels, as Veshalcha. She sent. That means she appointed an agent to receive the get on her behalf. Then we go on in the source, Veshalach Veshilcha. The reference here is to the fact that in the Torah, as you saw in the Pesukim that we read, we read Pasuk Aleph and Pasuk Gimel there in Dvarim, Perek Chof Dalet, the word Vishilcha appears twice. So here this Vishalach Vishilcha is, according to Rashi, the fact that the Torah says Vishilcha twice. Melamed Shehashaliach Oyseh Shaliach. This teaches us that the agent that was appointed can in turn appoint another agent to continue the mission. Ashkechon Begerushin. So we found a source for agency in the realm of divorce, which is what Dvarim Perek Chof Dalet is at the beginning is talking about. Bekidushin Minolon. From where do we know the power of agency when it comes to marriage? Bechitema Diolav Begerushin. You might say, well, you learn it from the fact that there's agency by divorce, which we already demonstrated. So to that, we answer, no, it would not be enough for us to simply rely on the Torah having written agency by Gerushin. I wouldn't have been able to figure Kiddushin from that. Ma le Gerushin, shekein yesh non baal korcha. If you want to know why agency works in the case of gerushin, I'll tell you, it's because within divorce, there is also divorce through non-will. That means a husband can divorce his wife on a Torah level. We're not talking about applied halacha, but on a Torah level, even if she doesn't agree. So you see that divorce can be accomplished even without consent on her part. So divorce can be accomplished through an agent as well. However, we would not be able to say the same thing by initial marriage. A woman doesn't get married against, you know, without any das, without any expressed acceptance. So how do I know that there's agency by kiddushin, that a man can appoint an agent to send the money or the ring to the wife, and that delivery will make her married to the original fellow, to the husband? Omar kra, so the pasuk says, v'yotza v'hoisa. We saw that in the pasuk that we've included in the margin of our Mark Gemaras, where it says, v'yotza mibeisa v'holcha v'hoisa li'ish achir. So in that pasuk you see, v'yotza, she leaves, and v'hoisa, and she becomes. Makish havaya li'itzia, what these words represent is a havaya means to be married. Yitzia means to be divorced. Makish means we compare these two areas. We compare the laws of becoming married to the laws of becoming divorced. Ma yitzia, just like in the realm of divorce, mashvi shaliach, a shliach can be appointed. Af havaya nami mashvi shliach. So too within the realm of havaya, of marriage, of establishing a marriage, it can be accomplished also through agency. We continue. V'alaha d'snan. We have a new triangle, a new topic. You'll see that this is the topic of tithing one's produce, separating the truma tithe. Ha'imer l'shlucho, say trom. A person appoints an agent and says to him, go and remove the tithe. Toreim kedas balabayas. The agent, if he knows the level of generosity of his sender, of the balabayas, so being that you know the mindset of the balabayas, some are magnanimous, some are stingy. So in accordance with his nature, so you, the agent, will tithe. And if you don't know what kind of heart he has, so then toreim bebeinonis echad mechamishim. Then do what's called the average percentage of truma tithe, 1/50. 1/50 of the produce, separate and deliver to a coin. The Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis. Piches asora oy hoisif asora. These are references to different fractions. Piches asora means a tithe 1/40. There's a little bit of an irony here because the word piches means less, but when you take and separate 1/40, you're actually giving more than the bainuness of 1/50. The word piches then is associated with the fact that instead of 1/50, it's 1 over a smaller number, 40, 1 over 40. But when dealing with fractions, of course, it's a larger amount. Hoisif asara, but by the same token, hoisif asara means 1/60. It's a lesser amount. So if he gave not 1/50, but 1/40 or 1/60, truma sur truma, the tithe is binding all the same. And the agent can say, oh, that's what I thought you would have given, and he'd be, it's a reasonable thing to think thusly. Menalon, from where do we know that an agent can do the tithing? And when we speak about do the tithing, there's a halachic change in the status of that which remains after the tithe was removed. It's now called chulin. Prior to the tithing, it was called tevel. Tevel is untithed produce, which is strictly forbidden to consume. Now, with the tithing, its halachic status has changed. And all of that was done through an agent. How do we know that that is effective? You might say, well, we have the gerushin precedent, the divorce precedent, that agency works. I will tell you, no, that cannot be your source of agency for truma. Ma le gerushin shekein yeshnon choyl. In the realm of gerushin, its agency will work because that's the realm of choyl. Choyl means the realm of that which is common as opposed to that which is holy. Choyl, by the way, when we speak about holiness, that too is something that could at times be called relative. Relative to what? So relative to the realm of divorce, the area of tithing, truma, is considered holy. So in such a realm, such an area of law, I don't know that agency works just because agency works by divorce. Therefore, we have a separate source. Omar, kro, atem, gam atem, l'rabois es hashaliach. The pasuk is quoted, we have it printed on the side of our marked gemaras. Bamidbar perek yudches pasuk chav ches says, kein torimu gam atem trumas Hashem mikol masroseichem. So instead of saying simply kein torimu atem, it's the pasuk says gam atem. So the word gam, so it's an extra word, so to speak, and it's there to include not just the owner but his agent as well. Once appointed to tithe, his tithing is effective. Question. And at this point, we're setting the stage for a long discussion that continues down, halfway down the page, where we're going to be asking, was it really necessary to spell out in each area that agency is effective? So the Gemara asks, v'nichtoiv rachmona betruma, let the Torah write that agency exists by the trumatai, v'nesu hanoch v'nigmeru minei, and let us, without the Torah writing it out, let us derive that there's shlichus by gittin and by kiddushin, learning it minei, from truma. No, mishum de'iko lemifrach, one can still raise an objection. Shekein yeshna b'machshava. Truma can be tithed without doing an actual, an actual physical separation. Machshava through thought. Rashi on the third line from the top says, "B'machshava noisin einov b'tzadzeh v'yoichel b'tzadzeh." You can look at the northern part of your pile of grain and say, "I want the tithe to be from the northeastern corner," and eat the rest of the grain, having been tithed through mere machshava. So where machshava works, there's room to say agency would work. But who's to say that agency would work in Gittin and Kiddushin? A person can think about divorcing his wife, it doesn't mean she's divorced. A person can think about marrying a woman, it doesn't mean she's going to be married to him. And that's just to repeat ourselves, in contrast to tithing, where a person can actually think that the tithe is in the northeastern corner of the pile of grains, and from that point on he's allowed to eat the rest of the grains. By the way, we're saying things in very general terms. There are many more details. There are additional tithes, etc. But for the time being, all we're trying to illustrate is that the tithing through thought is effective. So where thought is effective, agency could be effective. Therefore, you'll have to have separate sources to tell me that agency works for in Gittin and Kiddushin, realms of halacha where mere thought is not effective. We continue a fourth area. V'ha disnan chabura she'ovad pischa. Chabura is the group of people that are appointed. Each group joins together, appoints one. I will say one person appoints others to join with him in his eating of the Korban Pesach. In simple terms, a group brings a Korban Pesach together. And in this case, Chabur Sha'ova Pischa, the group had a Korban Pesach, but not lost. Fi'omru li'echad, and they said to one of the group members, say, Uvakeshu Sholeinu, go seek out the lost animal and slaughter it for us. Holach u'motso v'shochat v'hein lochu v'shochtu. The friend, the member of the group, went and sought, found it, slaughtered it, and they weren't going to rely on him. So one of them, one of the other members, the remainder of the group, went and bought a new animal and slaughtered it as a Korban Pesach. It's important to know which one was slaughtered first. Im shelo nishchat rishon, if the one that the fellow went out to look for, you could say the original animal was found and was slaughtered before they slaughtered their newly acquired animal. Hu ochel mishelo v'heim ochlin imo. So the fellow who found the animal and slaughtered it will eat from that Korban Pesach, and all the rest of the original group members will join in with him. Rashi, on the first narrow line, v'hein oichanimo sharei asu shaliach. How is it that they eat with him? Because they appointed him as their agent to function on their behalf, lishchoit, to slaughter it on their behalf. V'shelan posel. That means the animal that they bought and slaughtered, since when they slaughtered it, the fellow had found and already slaughtered the first one, their replacement animal is pusil. It's ineffective. They're having fulfilled their Korban Pesach requirement through the first animal. What do we see in this story? And the reason we read the Rashi was to see the dashed underlining that we saw, that we made. They made him an agent. So Minolan, from where do we know this? From where do we know? Rashi adds a very famous phrase, "Deshlucho shel adam kamoso l'shchitas kochim." We have the idea, "Shlucho shel adam kamoso," a person's agent is like himself. Where do we know that in the realm of slaughtering sacrifices, the agent that slaughters on your behalf is like you did the slaughtering? Minolan, from where do we know that? V'chitema di'olif mehanoch. You might say, well, let's learn from the others. Now, the others are what? There's Gittin, Kiddushin, and Trumos. We've already demonstrated in those realms there's sources for shlichus. So look, shlichus works over there. Let it work for kochim, the korban pesach, the sacrifice. It's in the realm of kochim. The Gemara says I can't learn from those. Ma'ala hanoch shekein yeshlan choyl eitzel kochim. Here, remember, we mentioned the idea of something relative. Relative to a sacrifice whose blood is sprinkled in the holy temple in the Beis Hamikdash, all the rest of the things, including Truma, are the realm of the mundane. So in the realm of the mundane, that which is common, so we say agency works. But I don't know from that agency would work in the case of Kachim. A new marking appears. On the side, we have a mivne, a structural note, where a diamond is featured. Makoros sources, l'shlichus b'kochim, that even in the realm of kochim, shlichus is effective. B'amud haba, in the next omud of Gemara, the next page of Gemara, mufim od me'u yanim me'musparim. There will be more diamonds with numbers. Heim makoros L'shlichus b'kochim b'shvil Rabbi Yonasan. Rabbi Yonasan is a name that we haven't seen yet. He appears like the third line from the bottom of the Gemara. So when we get to that point, we're going to be raising the question, okay, well, according to Rabbi Yonasan that appears there, how does he know shlichus b'kochim? The reason for that becoming an issue is because whatever source we will have presented for shlichus b'kochim, when it comes to Rabbi Yonasan, he'll be looking at that pasuk and using it for something else. So what will his source be for Shlichus B'Kodshim? That's why we made mention that when you get to Daf Mem Bei Zomer Aleph, more diamonds will appear, and they're numbered, but those are, in effect, sources for Shlichus B'Kodshim on behalf of Rabbi Yonason. Now, we continue with the Gemara. How do you know what's the source for Shlichus B'Kodshim? Nafgo le mid Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. We'll learn it from what he says in the following Tanaic source. The Yomer Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. Minayin shlucho shalom kemoso. From where do we know that a person's agent is like himself? Shenemar v'shochtu oisoi kol kahal adas Yisrael bein arbayim. This posuk comes from the section of the Torah, Shmos Perek Yud Beis Posuk Vav, that deals with the Korban Pesach. And the posuk says that all of Klal Yisrael will slaughter their Korban Pesach in the Bein or Bayim part of the day, the later part of the day. V'chi kol ha-kohol kulan shochten. Is it so that all of the community, all of the people slaughter? There's only one person. If you have a group of people that are going to be participating in a Korban Pesach, only one does the slaughtering. In fact, even technically speaking, one person can shecht everyone's Korban Pesach, one after the other, but it's not that everyone is doing the slaughtering. Yet the Torah describes the people of Israel as everyone is doing the slaughtering. Elomikan. So from here you see, Sheshlucho Shel Adam Kamoso. The agent of an individual is like the individual himself. So that if the agent of slaughters on behalf of Klal Yisrael, it's as if they're all doing the slaughtering. The Gemara asks, as we've seen before, Nichtev Rachmona B'Kodshim V'Netzi Hanoch V'Nigru Mineh. Why not have the Torah indicate agency is a reality, functions in the realm of Korbanus, and let me derive the others, Gittin, Kiddushin, and Truma, from V'nigmaru Mineh, from Kodshim, from the example from Rabbi Shuban Korcha's teaching by the Korban Pesach. Mishum Di'ikol Mifrach, because I would be able to undo, to challenge that attempt by saying Ma LeKodshim Shekein Roiv Ma'aseim Al-Yadei Shaliach. The fact that I have a source for agency by Kodshim, that should come as no surprise, because most of the activities associated with offering a sacrifice are automatically done through agency. I say automatically, maybe that's not the best choice of words, but it's understood, it's a given that agency works. Very simply because the Torah insists, commands Kehanim to do the sacrificial offering, the various stages of sacrificial service, besides the slaughtering. Slaughtering, we say Shechita Ksher Bazar, slaughtering can be done with a non-Kohen, but beyond that, the receipt of the blood, the sprinkling of the blood, the different activities that are associated with the offering of a sacrifice are done anyway through a shaliach, through the kehanim. The owners of the sacrifices aren't doing those things. So you're dealing with a realm, namely kachim, where agency is a fundamental part of that realm. You can't say the same thing regarding gittin, kiddushin, and truma. As a result, it was necessary for the Torah to spell out agency in the other realms as well, and not be able to rely on agency in Kodshim. Notice we have a very long bracketed section. At the end of this bracketed section, you can use your bracket length indicator. You see that it takes you down to four lines from the bottom. At that point in the Gemara, It says Ha Nicha the Rabbi Shimon Korcha. Of course, you might be saying, "Who is Rabbi Shimon Korcha? Did you forget him already?" If you did, we have arrows to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. Align that arrow 4 lines from the bottom with what you see on the upper part of the page. Of course, it's Rabbi Shimon Korcha that we just mentioned. He gave us the source for Shlichus Bekotchim, the Pasuk V'Shachatu Asokol Kal Adas Yisrael. So the Gemara, 4 lines from the bottom, says, Ha Nicha Rabbi Shimon Korcha, that's great for Rabbi Shimon Korcha, who uses the Pasuk of V'Shachatu Aso for Shlichus, as a source for agency. El Rabbi Yonah's son, the Mapik Lei Lahai Krol Ledrosho Achrina Menolon. But according to Rabbi Yonason, who uses the Pasuk of Veshachatu Oso for something else, for another teaching, where will we know Shlichus Bekotchem? At that point, you'll notice we have a long question marking. Where does Rabbi Yonason know that agency exists by Kotchem? Do you follow the length of the long question? It'll take you several lines from the top, 5 lines from the top of Daf Mem Beis. At that point, you see there's a closing of brackets. The brackets began 2 lines from the bottom of Mem Aleph Amid Beis. The Gemara is asking, according to Rabbi Yonason, who uses Vishachtu Aso for some alternative drasha, where does he learn Menolon? Where does he learn Shlichus Bekotchem? You skip the brackets momentarily, and what's the answer? Mine? He learns it from right there. What does that mean? He learns it from right there? From that Pasuk itself, the very Pasuk that we said he uses for an alternative drasha will nevertheless be the source for Shlichus. I know that sounds a little bit vague, it's a little abstract, we haven't gone through the bracketed section yet in order to appreciate it. But the diamond, and which we call there number one, is, we'll say, the first attempt at suggesting what Rabbi Yonason's source for Shlichus Bekotchem is. Mine, from that very pasuk that he was using for the Drosh Achrina. You'll notice that there are some inverted triangles that appear, and on the side under our Mivneh heading, we indicate Kushos. These are questions. So we're going to, at each point, you'll see a new diamond, namely a new, after a question is raised, so we have to come up with some new answer. And each new answer will successively be rejected, as you can see with the inverted triangles as they appear one after the other. What have we done? We've mapped out the superstructure of the Gemara. Now, we turn to the Gemara text. We left off at a bracketed section. Within the brackets, what is going to happen in the Gemara? We have a starred note, and let's read it. Hasograyim yodim lazor lishma retzef chipus mekoros l'shlichus bekotchem. The purpose of these brackets was in order to maintain the continuity of thought regarding sources for shlichus, for agency, by kotchem, within that realm. You noticed as we were going along in the Gemara, the question kept coming up, why do we have to spell out shlichus in each one of the realms? State it in one case, let me figure out the others from it. So now we're going to continue in that same mode of thinking within the bracketed section. There are new markings, though, that will appear. And on the side of the Gemara, under the Mivneh heading, where you see the house shape, Sidra shel birurim im efshe shater lo tichtev echod mimikuris l'shichus v'nilmud oisei mehasha'ar. Up till now, we've said that the Torah spells out a separate source for shlichus in each one of 4 different realms. Was it really necessary to spell it out, let's say, 4 times? So the Gemara continues in the brackets. Chada mechada lo asya. By stating one and expecting me to figure out another, that doesn't work. We've already shown that. Tesi chada mitarti. Let the Torah write two realms of, or two sources for shlichus, and two of the realms, and let me figure out the third one from there. Yet the Torah didn't suffice it with two sources for shlichus. It spelled out more, and the question is why. So now we continue with the Gemara. We didn't. We mentioned that there's a house shape, but we didn't explain what its role is. We did. We explained the suggestion at each point. Let the Torah not write one of the sources, and let me figure it out. Namely, that there is shlichus in one from having stated it explicitly by two others. So let's go on. Tesi chadomitarti. Well, hey Tesi, which one should be derived? When we say which one should be derived, meaning which one of these realms can we delete in terms of spelling out an explicit source and rely on the Torah spelling out shlichus by the others? Loi nichtoiv rachmona bekodshim. Let the Torah not write shlichus by kodshim, v'teisei mehanoch, and let me derive it from gittin and truma. We had gittin, kedushin, and truma. The Gemara says, ma lahanoch sheken yeshnon choyol etzel kodshim. I can't learn from them to kodshim. They are in the realm of the mundane, common. So in the realm of that which is common, maybe there we have shlichus. I wouldn't necessarily know that to be the case when you're dealing with kodshim, with sacrifices. The Gemara says, well, lo nichtav rachmona begirishin, let the Torah remain silent, not write a source by gerishin, v'teisei mehanoch, and let me figure from the others, from truma and kodshim. No, I can't derive from truma and kodshim, because there you have things taking place with mere thought. We mentioned mere thought by truma. The idea of mere thought having halachic implications, having halachic status, exists by kodshim as well. Rashi points this out. If a person in his mind concludes by thinking that he's going to dedicate a particular animal as a korban ola, it becomes a korban ola, even without verbalizing it. And Rashi gives the sources for that. Ela, loy lichtoi brachmona betruma, v'teisei mehanoch. Let the Torah remain silent regarding shlichus by truma, and I'll derive that there's shlichus by truma from kodshim and gerushin. Let's take a look at Rashi. He shows how this would actually work. Rashi that we're looking at is about a third of the way from the top. V'teisei mehanoch, ma kodshim shehen kodesh yeshron b'shliach, truma shichoyo lo kol shekein. Mind you, kodshim, which is holy, and yet shlichus works, truma, which is common, relatively speaking, all the more so shlichus would work. Rashi continues, well, but ma le kodshim, shekein roiv maasei maidei shaliach. I can't derive truma from kodshim, because the majority of the actions required by korbanos are shliach oriented. The kohanim function as emissaries on behalf of the population for the offering of sacrifices. So I can't, by having stated kodshim, I could not figure out truma. Well, gerushin yochichu, let me learn from gerushin, which we wouldn't say rov ma'asam by gerushin is through a shliach. Nevertheless, I can't learn from gerushin. Ma'ale gerushin sheken yeshon choyel etzel truma. Truma relative to gerushin, truma is holy. Gerushin is common, is the realm of chulin. So by Gerushin, Shlichus works. I don't know that it would work so by Truma. Well, all right. Kodshim Yochichu. If the whole lacking in Gerushin is that it's Chol, well, when you come to Kodshim, you see Shlichus, and it's Kodesh, it's holy. The Chazar Hadin. And the logic continues to revolve, because if you're going to say rely on Kodshim, once there, I would go back and say, Rov Maaseyam is Bishlichus. Nevertheless, we have a common denominator. Hatzara Shava Shebahen, the common denominator between Kodshim and Gerushin, Sheyeshnon Ayadei Atzmo, a person himself can do it, Ushlucho Kamoso, and his agent is like himself, Af Ani Ovi Truma. I will now include Truma as well. We continue in the Gemara. So, is it not so that if the Torah would have remained silent, namely, it wouldn't have written Gam Atem L'Rav L'Shluchachem, it would have remained silent regarding agency by Truma, I would have been able to derive agency by Truma V'Teisim Mehana from Kodshim and Gerushin. The Gemara says, Hochinami, you're right. If that's the case, then what about the source that was stated explicitly by Truma? V'yelo atem gam atem lomali. So what am I going to do with the pasuk that the Torah writes by Truma? Answer, miboyalei l'cherebi yanai. Here we have a new marking, the bow tie shape, and it's introduced on the side under our nosei, mivne heading. And we've written, Me'achar shenucha luma shlichus betruma mi makoros acherim, mi gitten v'kotshim, ma londim mi gamatem. What am I going to learn from gamatem, which was presented originally as the source for shlichus by truma? I don't need a Torah source anymore. I can figure it out from the other two realms. So we will have two answers, and that's what the bow tie shape introduces. Do you see where they are? One is immediate, and the next one, you'll see several up lines from the bottom, about eight lines up from the bottom, there's a second bow tie. What do I need gam atem for? Mi boy ale, lichur bianai, diom rabianai, gam atem, ma atem b'nei bris, just like you are children of the covenant, meaning you're Jewish, af shluchachem b'nei bris, so too, your agents for tithing must be Jewish, to the exclusion of an idol worshiper. The Gemara asks, ha, now notice the question that we're going to ask now lasts a couple of lines, ha lomali kra, what do I need a pasuk for this? Midi Rabbi Chiya bar Abba om Rabbi Yochanan nafka, I would have been able to learn this point that idol worshippers are disqualified for serving as agents from Rabbi Chiya's teaching. The Yom Rabbi Chiya bar Abba om Rabbi Yochanan ein ho eved nasa shliach lekabel get miad baylo shel isha lefi she'eno b'toras gitin v'kidushin. This is we're going to borrow his idea and apply it to Truma. What does Rabbi Chiya tell us? A slave cannot be an agent to receive a divorce document from a woman's husband on her behalf. Why is it so that a slave cannot be a shaliach for that? Well, as the Gemara said, l'fishenu b'turas gitin v'kiddushin, and a slave has no connection himself with the realm of divorce and marriage. What's the principle you see from here? You can't be an agent for something that the agent himself doesn't have any personal connection with. So just like a slave has no personal connection with the realm of marriage and divorce, and therefore he cannot serve as an agent for receiving a divorce document on behalf of a woman, so too, regarding tithes. Gentiles have no connection with the realm of separating a truma tithe, and therefore it's obvious, it simply follows forth that the Gentile, the idol worshipper, cannot serve as an agent for that purpose. So you don't need a special pasuk, namely gam atem, to exclude the Gentile from being an agent for Truma. The Gemara says, Itzterich, you need Gamatem to disqualify the Goy from Shlichus B'Truma. Salka Daitoch Amina. Without the Pasuk, I would have thought as follows. Eved Delav Bar Heterahu Klal. The disqualification of a slave in the realm of accepting a get on behalf of a woman, that's because the slave has no association with heter, with being free. He's a slave. Aval oivet kechavim hayol v'isei betruma denafshe disnan, an idol worshipper, we led you to believe before, but inaccurately, that an idol worshipper has no connection with the truma tithe. That's not entirely true. An idol worshipper, if he were to tithe his own grains and declare it as truma, it's true, he's not obligated to do so. But if he were to do so, it says, Ha'evit kechavim v'akusi shetarmu, trumas and truma. Their tithing takes effect. Regarding what? Regarding the tithe is labeled as truma, and a non-kohen would not be allowed to eat from it. Truma is a kohen tithe. A zar, a non-kohen, would be forbidden. So you see that idol worshippers have a connection to truma. Ema shliach nami ovid. I would have thought, without the gam atem, that he could be made, and a Gentile could actually be appointed as an agent for tithing. Komash malon, so the gam atem posuk tells me, he cannot. He's disqualified. He's unqualified for serving as an agent for tithing a Jew's produce. The Gemara asks, Ula Rabbi Shimon de Potar, according to the Tana Rabbi Shimon, that says that a Gentile's tithing is a zero. It's nothing. So what is Rabbi Shimon going to do with the Gam Atem Pasuk? We'll read that in the Gemara. Ula Rabbi Shimon de Potar Disnan. Rabbi Shimon exempts. The term exempts means that the Truma that's separated by the Gentile will not be considered truma whatsoever. According to the first opinion, Rabbi Shimon, you see, he follows. But according to the first opinion, the tithe separated by a Gentile on his own produce, midamas means if it gets mixed into chulin, already tithed produce, it creates a prohibition. The only one who would be able to benefit from it then would be a kohen. Because you've got truma mixed into chulin, that's called dimua. Furthermore, the truma sevi kechavim, according to the Tanakama, if someone would eat it b'shogeg, he'll have to pay the value of what he ate plus a fifth, the chomesh. For Rabbi Shimon Poter, we want to focus on Rabbi Shimon right now. Rabbi Shimon exempts. He exempts, first of all, it would not create dimua. It would not be mechayev someone to pay a fifth. It's nothing. Well, if the idol worshipper's truma in Reb Shimon's eyes is nothing, so we point out before, logically I know then that he cannot be an agent for tithing. He has no connection to tithes. Atem gam atem lomali, the pasuk that we originally suggested, most recently suggested, was needed to exclude Gentiles. I don't need the pasuk anymore if you accept Rabbi Shimon's approach. Nitzterich, I need gam atem. And in fact, I'm going to need gam atem to tell me that shlichus exists. Salka daitoch amino. Without telling me gam atem that shlichus exists by truma, I would have thought, Hayil v'yomar mar, since we have the following, atem v'lo arisim, atem v'lo shutfim, atem v'lo apetropis, atem v'lo haturim es shenu shelo. The pasuk that we referred to before regarding truma, Bamidbar perek yudches pasuk of ches. We read it before. We have it included in the upper part of the margin. It said, "Kein torimu gam atem trumas Hashem mikol masrosechem." The word atem indicates you, the owner, not the sharecropper, the oris. Rashi points out that arisim, a sharecropper, is excluded from being able to tithe the portion of grains that he delivers to the owner. He's a sharecropper, so he'll tithe the percentage that he received, but he does not tithe the grains that he delivers to the owner. Atem v'lo shutfin, if you have partners in a field, so each partner is responsible for tithing his own portion. A partner then doesn't tithe for the other one. Atem v'lo apotropos. Apotropos is an executor. He works on behalf of orphans. So the apotropos is excluded from doing the tithes. Atem v'lo aturim es shenu shelo. The owner has to tithe his own stuff, and he cannot tithe grains or produce belonging to someone else without the other fellow's expressed approval. So you see how atem excludes quite a few different, we'll say, others from tithing. So Emo, I would have thought in the spirit of things, atem v'lo shluchachichem, that you and not your agents would not be qualified for tithing your produce. Komash molon, therefore I need gam atem by truma. Honicha the Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. We already introduced this earlier regarding the topic of shlichus by kachim. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha introduced the pasuk v'shochatu oisei kol kalanas v'Yisrael bein arbayim. Fine, we have a source for shlichus by kachim. Elo Rabbi Yonason, the mapik lay lahai krol ledrosh achrina menolon. According to Rabbi Yonason, that uses the pasuk of v'shochatu oisei for a separate drosha, for a different drosha. From menolon means from where will we know shlichus by kachim? Desanya. And now the Gemara gives us the background. We already introduced the Gemara structure before, that the answer to the question of Menolan will be in the next diamond that you see on Mem Beis Omid Aleph, five lines from the top. But in the meantime, the background to this question is in the brackets. Rabbi Yonason used the Pasuk of Shachtu Oisai Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael Ben Arbaim for another drosha. The Gemara continues at the top of the Mem Beis. But Pesach Echad, from where do you know that all of the Jewish people could fulfill their Korban Pesach requirement with one animal, one sheep, one goat, being slaughtered as their Korban Pesach? Let's add what Rashi points out, the idea of eating of the Korban Pesach. It exists, but it's not binding. It's not an imperative element of fulfilling the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. The only imperative, the only binding requirement is the sprinkling of the blood. So the sprinkling of the blood of one Korban Pesach is sufficient for all of Klal Yisrael. From where do you know that? Shenemar v'shachtu oisoi kol kahal adas Yisrael beinu arbayim. V'chi kol ha-kahal kulam shochetim. Is it so that all of the congregation, all of the assembly is involved with slaughtering? V'alo eino shochet elo echad. Only one does the slaughtering on behalf of others. Elo mikan. You see from here, shekol Yisrael yoytzim b'pesach echad, that all of the Jewish people could fulfill their Korban Pesach requirement with one animal. So, Shliach beKodshim enole, where will Rav Yonason learn that there's Shlichus by Kodshim? The Gemara says, Mine, from that very Pasuk. What did we say? We said that one Korban Pesach can be used to fulfill the Korban Pesach requirement of the entire Jewish people. Well then, is it not so then that the one who is slaughtering that one Korban Pesach is in effect working as an agent for all the rest of the people? So there you've got it. You've got agency right from that Pasuk. The Gemara rejects this. The Dilma, and we indicated earlier that the inverted triangle represents questions, challenges to whatever answer we're going to be giving in the next couple of diamonds. The Dilma, shiny hasam deis leishutvis begavayu. Maybe the case of the Korban Pesach is different. It can't serve as a source for all sacrifices offered in the Beis Hamikdash. In that case, The one who is slaughtering on behalf of everybody, he himself has a share in that Korban Pesach. We said one Korban Pesach for all of the Jews. That's why the one who is shechting it, is slaughtering it, is effective as an agent for the rest of them, because he has a share in it. He's a shutuf. He's a partner in it. What about someone working as an agent for someone else in a korban that the agent has no holding in? Elo mehocha v'ikhu lohem ish se lebeis avos se lebayis. One purchases a korban pesach on behalf of an entire household. So you see that one is functioning on behalf of everyone else. That's an agent. The Gemara says, Fidil Mahasam Nami, that source as well, is not sufficient, because the is lay shutvis begavayo. It's a member of the household that's also going to be benefiting from that which he purchases. So he purchases on behalf of the rest, but he's also purchasing on behalf of himself. So he's a shutuf in it. He's a partner in it. But what about general agency in sacrifices where the agent doesn't have any holding in it? In Cain, if you're going to dismiss this pasuk as well, trei kroi lomali, what do I need two psukim to tell me about a person that has a share in the Korban Pesach, that his actions are beneficial on behalf of the others? So I don't need to tell you that point twice. If I don't need it for a case where he has shaychus, he has a connection to it, allow the second pasuk, the other pasuk, to inform me of the person's effectiveness as an agent, even where he has no holding in the sacrifice that he is representing, that he's serving as agent. The Gemara says, "No, I can't come up with a source based on this idea of eino inyan that I have an extra pasuk. Hi, mi boyale lichadu Rebbe Yitzchak. Pasuk gimel, namely v'yikhu lohem ish se lebeis avos. You can't just dismiss that as not needed." for shutfis, and therefore it's available for shlichus. No, pasuk gimel is needed for Reb Yitzchok's teaching. Diyama Reb Yitzchok, ish zoiche. The pasuk said v'yikulem ish. Ish is an adult, a man. Set lebeis avos. We learn from that ish zoiche, an adult, in his purchase is effective on behalf of the others. Velo hakotan zoiche. A minor would not be able to accomplish that. Let's take a look at Rashi. First narrow line. Ish zeichu le'olam mishum de'is le'shutfis begavayu. The effectiveness of the Korban Pesach in that case is once again because he is a partner in it. U'dekarma zimeno inyan. You say, well, what do I need a second posuk to tell me about effectiveness of agency where you have a partnership in it? Well, inyan hu lo. I need it for that very point, the point of partnership. That pasuk is needed, in fact, in this very realm of partnership, where one buys on behalf of himself and others, but he must be an adult, not a minor. So I don't have a pasuk for shlichus yet. I need pasuk gimel to exclude a minor. No. Hahu, that point of excluding a minor, mi'ish lefi achloi nafka. I have posuk dalid, where adult is mentioned, and that will exclude a minor. Question. Vakati miboy alei. I need, in fact, ish lefi achlo for something else. Deshochtin es ha-pesach al ha-yochid. That a korban pesach can be slaughtered even if only one person is going to be participated in, and there isn't a group that's joined together for it. Well, at this point, I don't have an extra posuk for shlichus. For shlichus where the shlich doesn't have a share in it. The Gemara responds and says, "Sovar lo keman domar ein shochten es haPesach al haYochid." Therefore, if we tell you that Reb Yonason holds ein shochten es haPesach al haYochid, that you can't slaughter a korban pesach if only one person is going to partake of it. Therefore, pasuk dalid is in fact available for Reb Yitzchok's din of ish zeiche v'lo katan zeiche, and pasuk gimel will be the source for shlichus. The pasuk of v'kulam ish selabeis ova selabayis. So, at this point then, we have found a source for Shlichus Bekotshim for Reb Yonason as well. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.